My guest at this time is House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte, a Republican representing Virginia's 6th Congressional District. He's also the author of the Securing America's Future Act. That's immigration reform legislation that would give statutory protection to enrollees of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. However, the legislation does not give those recipients a pathway to citizenship, does not grant legal status to young people who qualify for DACA but never enrolled, and does not confer legal status on the parents who broke the law in bringing their children to America. It also aims to crack down on chain migration and the visa lottery while authorizing construction of barriers along our nation's borders. He joins me now to discuss it all. And, Mr. Chairman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Greg. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
Your bill is very different from the most recent version of the Gang of Six bill. One of the reasons I listed all the things, or at least several of the things your bill does, is to show the contrast, because the Gang of Six bill would grant a pathway to citizenship for DACA recipients, as well as the Dreamers who never signed up for DACA, and it would actually grant legal status to the parents who brought them here illegally. So what's your reaction to their approach?
Well, first of all, we don't object to people who are DACA recipients finding an opportunity to get a green card and U.S. citizenship as long as they follow the existing law like anybody else who has followed the rules and come here legally. But to give them a special pathway to citizenship where they get something that the child of someone who's here on a non-immigrant visa and wants to be able to remain in the United States and finds a family member, say they marry a U.S. citizen or an employer who wants a position for them, under our bill, the DACA recipients would be able to live in the United States permanently with 3-year renewables, but indefinitely, work in the United States, own a business in the United States, travel in and out of the country, and if they find under the normal law a way to qualify for U.S. citizenship, that's fine, but not a special pathway to citizenship.
When President Obama instituted DACA by executive action in 2012, he said it applied to people who were up to the age of 31 by the year 2007. So now there are people as old as 42 in this program. So they may be here as a result of their parents' actions. But at what point do they become responsible for not pursuing legal pathways, and in some cases, a decade or two since they became an adult?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Obviously, the issue from these individuals is that they may have been living here for 20, 25 years or more, brought here at the age of 10 or 15 or younger, and they then, don't know any other country. So I am not unsympathetic to the situation, but it is a situation that their parents created for them and one that we have to respond to with that in mind. In other words, take care of them. But don't give them an opportunity to petition for those same parents who were responsible for coming here illegally in the first place, an opportunity to legalize because we've legalized the DACA recipients. And other pieces in our legislation would end so-called chain migration, which is basically immigration for extended families. We keep the opportunity for anyone who's coming to the United States to bring with them or petition for their spouse and their minor children. But adult children, brothers and sisters, and parents are categories that we would eliminate, and we would move instead toward a merit-based immigration system where we bring people to the country, welcome them to the country based upon what they bring with them, job skills, training, education, job offers even. And we think that, which is the system used in countries like Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and many others, is the better way to go.
What are you hearing from your leadership? Are they committing to bringing your bill to the House floor? Or depending on if the Senate acts first and passes something from the Gang of Six or someone else, that they would be more partial to that? What are they promising you, if anything?
They have promised to bring the Securing America's Future Act to the floor. It's going to be important that we go through a member education process and a whip schedule where we figure out who is willing to vote for it, because it's good to make a commitment to bring a bill to the floor. You've also got to pass the bill to make it useful in this process. And quite frankly, this legislation, I think, does two things better and fairer than any proposal I've seen over in the United States Senate or from the Democratic side of the aisle. And those two things are a fair way to deal with the problem created by President Obama this program, this unconstitutional program, and then ended by President Trump. But then he turned around and said, but these individuals need a solution and Congress should do it. We provided that in our bill. But we also are the only plan that addresses Speaker Ryan's concern, and that is that we not allow this problem to happen again. And, of course, it's an ongoing problem. So unless you make the changes, not just at the border, but also dealing with visa overstays, also dealing with people who enter the country illegally and then claim political asylum, we're now up to 200,000 people in that waiting list, which historically had 5,000 to 10,000 people a year on it. These are abuses of our system and are loopholes that need to be closed. And that coupled with the end of chain migration and the elimination of the visa lottery, a crazy program that gives 55,000 people green cards every year, not based on family relations, not based upon job skills, but based upon pure luck. That is totally unfair, and it is a national security concern as well. So those are the things that President Trump and the bipartisan group that met with him at the White House, that the nation got to see on television, a great deal of that discussion, Republicans, Democrats, House members, senators, and the president and the Secretary of Homeland Security discussing this very serious, very important issue. And we agreed that we would negotiate on those four points, those three, the security, the chain migration, the ending the visa lottery, and DACA. And that's what my bill does.
Well, I guess you just answered my next question. The president talks so much about the wall, did on the campaign, still talking about it now. And I know a lot of enforcement advocates like that idea, but they think chain migration is more important to deal with. Do you worry that the push for the wall could end up weakening other things as the negotiating continues? Or are you pretty confident that the president sees that as the priority that you do?
Well, I think that there is consensus on our side of the aisle, certainly, that there is a need to repair fences, to extend the wall, to build a wall in some places, particularly high population areas and in high crime areas where there's a lot of smuggling going on. But you do not need it where there are mountains, where there are large deserts, or where there are rivers. And so from that standpoint, I think the president, he may have moderated his position from when he was running for office, but I think the president, when he calls for a wall, is not calling for a 2,000-mile-long wall, but something that will be practical and effective. But you're right, and many other people are right, that is one tool, but it doesn't at all address the 40% of people who come into this country legally and then simply ignore the law and overstay their visas. Nor does it address the people who come into the country illegally and aren't trying to evade the Border Patrol. They're actually going to them, turning themselves in, knowing, because they've been told by coyotes and lawyers, that they'll be released into the interior of the country and given a court date to reappear, when we know that a high percentage of those people never return to appear in court to have an adjudication about whether they had a basis for entering the country in the first place.
Mr. Chairman, I know you've got to run. Just real quickly, what will happen? Where do you think things will stand 2 months from now?
Well, I'm hopeful that we find a solution that addresses both our concern about national security and protecting the interests of Americans and addressing the concern of these DACA recipients. But we should also take our time and not feel that we're compelled to do anything by any deadline, because there is no deadline. February 8th. Is not a deadline to solve this bill. It is a deadline to keep the government funded, but not to solve this problem. March 5th, the deadline the president set, can be changed if necessary. And by the way, we also have a court order, not a good one in my opinion, but a court order that stays the president's termination of the DACA program on March the 5th. And who knows how long that will go on. We should use all the time that's necessary to get this done right and not a minute longer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for your time today, sir. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Virginia Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte represents the Old Dominion 6th Congressional District. He's also chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.